We acknowledge that we are creating this podcast on the traditional land of Treaty 6.
Et sur la terre de la nation métisse de la région 4 de l'Alberta.
Api Inuit Saha, Anikut Vivida, Adivasi Janatava, Tapiriganamu.
Yatsip Shotkovie označili teritoria od vieku.
Isang lugar na malugod na tinatanggap ng maraming tao mula sa iba't ibang panig ng mundo upang dito manirahan at gawing tahanan.
A place that has welcomed many people from around the world to make their home here.
Hello, welcome to the final episode of the SJT Immigration Project. Today we've got a great one for you.
You bet we do. Today we're going to hear from the mayor of Edmonton, Amarjeet Sohi.
But we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves. First off, hi, I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Akash. As this marks the final episode of the season, we want to remind you that all previous episodes and previous seasons of the podcast are available wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's right. And before we get to the interview, we want to thank everyone that has participated in this podcast this season. From the hosts like us to EAP students who interviewed people, and especially to all those that allowed themselves to be recorded and put on the podcast, we couldn't have done it without you.
Our final episode today is with Mayor Sohi of Edmonton. He came in earlier this spring and allowed us a bunch of time to record with him. Kara and Hannah were able to sit down with him for the interviews.
And after the interview, he walked around the school and said hello to all of us. Were you there to see him?
No, I was stuck in class, unfortunately.
Well, we hope you enjoy the interview today. Here it is.
Okay, let's do it.
Where did you emigrate from? What was life like?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I feel really honored that I get to talk to both of you. I was born in India, grew up on in a little farm with my family, extended family. My father and his brothers, they all lived together. And it was a big family. And then I moved to Canada in 1981. Yeah.
What drove you to immigrate to Canada?
So my brother, my elder brother, came to Canada in 1976. And he landed in British Columbia. Then he moved to Alberta in a couple of years later. Economy in British Columbia wasn't as strong. And there was a lot of demand for workers in the oil sector. So he moved here. Then he sponsored me and my parents to come to Canada as family class immigrants. That's how we got here. My brother and my sister-in-law, whom I have so much admiration and respect, is because of them, because of their generosity that I was able to come here. And we lived in Edmonton ever since 1981.
We know you left Canada and then came back again. How was your experience different from the first time?
Yeah, so I left Canada in 1988 to work on some of the files or areas that I am quite passionate about. Social justice, making sure that everyone is able to succeed, that everyone is treated fairly. And I, at that time, was working in theater as a performing artist, and I wanted to learn different techniques of theater that I could use to talk about social issues, talk about important human rights issues and social justice issues. So I left to learn that technique. So I spent almost 2.5 years. Because of that work, I ended up being imprisoned for 21 months. But I came back in 1990. And my appreciation for Canada and what Canada offers, and how some of the issues that I was passionate about, still passionate about, how they relate in the Canadian context, right? So it really broadened my understanding about the importance of fighting for justice, importance of fighting for fairness, for equality, and building a city or community for everyone. So it really, really rooted me into thinking more broadly about all those issues.
That's awesome. You were talking about your passion for social justice. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, so when I moved here in 1981, I was young. I couldn't speak the language, struggled a lot in school because of that language barrier. I'm talking about 1981, 82, 83. At that time, Edmonton wasn't as diverse as it is today. So I faced a lot of racism and discrimination just because who I was and how I looked because of my skin color. And I felt quite a bit loneliness and felt lack of support from the school, from the community, other than my family. I couldn't go to a school counselor or a principal or a teacher seeking help. And that really kind of ingrained in me that the experiences I had in school should not be something that we should be tolerating, right? We should not be tolerating racism, discrimination, and marginalization and isolation. So that led me to get involved in some of the organizations in the city who were working on these areas. I really became passionate about that. I want to make sure that the role I play as a mayor or city councilor before this, that we are doing what we can in our capacity to build people's capacity and empower them to live up to their fullest potential. When people are discriminated, when people are marginalized, when people are bullied, you are actually holding them back because it's a lot of stress. It is a lot of negativity, and you start feeling that you are not worthy of people's compassion and love and care. And you start internalizing that. When you start internalizing that, you are not actually being who you are, and you are not actually able to really live up to your potential. So that is why I'm so passionate about this work. That what I experienced should not be the experience of anyone else, particularly in those areas. Yeah.
How was going from a Liberal member of parliament to the mayor of Edmonton?
Well, I really love my work. Being a mayor is the coolest job one could have. I got a lot of respect out in the community. I get to go visit schools, communities, and we do a lot of good policy work around how we move our city forward. And there's a lot of flexibility as mayor and ability for me to work with council members to make sure that we are taking the right steps to build a future for you and others that Edmonton remains a good place for people to live, that Edmonton is actually a better place where it is today into the future. So how we take action on climate change, for example. How do we build more sustainable communities? How we look after our green spaces? How we are making sure that you have access to resources, the program and services that city offers, from recreation centers to libraries to green spaces to fire protection, public transit. They need to be accessible for everyone. Everyone should have access to those amenities and programs. So equity is very important in this work, and I get to do that. How do we do some of the anti-racism work? How do we build a better relationship with the Indigenous communities in Edmonton? So our path to reconciliation, recognizing the wrongs of the past and how we can move forward correcting those wrongs and learning from those mistakes and not repeating them into the future, and also working together to repair that relationship and build a stronger relationship. And that can only happen when you recognize what had happened in the past, but willingness to learn, to engage, and build that relationship. So as a mayor, I get to do all that work, having those relationships with community, with council members, with administration, and that's something I I really value. So that true partnership is possible at a local level, at a municipal level.
I love your intentions that you have as the mayor. Did you expect to become mayor when you first came to Canada?
No, honestly, when I got here, I never thought I would be in this position ever because I was struggling in my early days, just trying to figure out my life. I started from scratch. I had nothing when I got here other than the love and support of my brother and my sister-in-law. So I started, mopping floors at restaurants or flipping burgers at McDonald's as my first job, then drove taxi for a while, then got into other jobs and worked at Edmonton Transit bus driver. So I never imagined in my life that I would get to serve the city that embraced me to this place. So it's a great honor to do that. But I don't think we plan in a linear way when we think about our life. I think circumstances and other external factors led you to a different path than you might have kind of thought about, right? So you can't really plan your life from day one. So for me, it's more of a kind of natural progression from what I was doing in my work. So I got involved in my union. I started organizing to make my life better, my colleagues' life better. That introduced me to City Hall. And then I started volunteering with some of the council members on their campaigns. And that was my introduction to politics. That was my introduction in a way that I got to see some of the work that council members were doing. And I thought about, say, this is pretty exciting work. This is about building communities. This is about really looking at things that I was kind of thinking about, right? So I thought maybe I should think about running, and I did in 2004, which I did not win. But I think that defeat taught me a lot of lessons. One of the lessons I learned during that defeat was that even though I thought I was connected to the community deeply, but I wasn't. I wasn't really listening to people. I wasn't really connecting to get their feedback. I was kind of more of a superficial relationship, right? In order for you to lead your city, you have to have a deep, committed relationship where you're truly listening to people. You're really trying to understand their values and engage them where they are and then get that input into decision making, right? So it really taught me how critical listening and then including that, having that input into decision making from the community.
Your career success is an inspiration to not only other immigrants, but to everyone. How did you advance your career from being a bus driver for the city of Edmonton to the mayor of the city of Edmonton?
Yeah, you know, it's thank you for that question. It's not a simple question to answer because there are many layers to that success. Obviously, I worked hard. That's part of it. I stayed true to my values. That's part of it. But community is a big part of it. I don't think a person on their own. Can be successful without the support of the family, without the support of the community, with the support of the friends. So when I look back at my life, I think about things that helped me where I am today, to be where I'm today. Things like public transit, right? Just imagine for a minute if I did not have access to good, affordable, reliable public transit, I probably would not have been able to go to school because I didn't have access to a private vehicle. Or couldn't have find a better job. Or couldn't have find like a job within ETS, right? I think about libraries. That's where I learned to speak English, right? And without libraries, I don't think my capacity to participate in the community would have been where it is today. I think about green spaces, making friends at recreation centers, making friends playing soccer out in the community. I think about how my involvement in community leagues allowed me to build my capacity and skills that I needed to take a leadership role. So I think all those things combined together helped me and propelled me to where I am today. So along with my own personal commitment and my hard work, the support of the community enabled me to do that. I firmly believe that if we want to build people's capacity, individuals' capacity to be successful, that community support has to be there. Those program and services need to be there in order for us to be successful.
Your story is going to inspire so many groups of people. Do you have any advice you'd like to share for those who are wanting to immigrate to Canada?
The people who want to come here and live and make life in Canada, I would say Canada is one of the best places. We are not a perfect place. Let's be clear, we are not a perfect place, but we are the best place among many other places in the world because we have a commitment to human rights. We have a commitment to freedom. We have a commitment to helping each other. We have a great public education system where somebody's ability to pay is not a barrier, which is a barrier for a lot of people in a lot of other countries. We have access to services at a very affordable rate, and sometimes those services are free of any charge, which is absolutely important from people from every background to be successful. Right? So I would say move here, work hard, and be part of the community, and community will lift you up as you work your way up, right? So and really be willing to give back as well, right? Because all of us working together in small ways, just being out there. I know, like in your school, I'm pretty sure you run into a lot of young kids who are new to Edmonton. How do you support them? Like, how do you stand with them if they're feeling isolated, if they're feeling lonely? Just standing by them, holding their hand, say, no, don't worry, we're here with you. Right? And those kind of little gestures that go a long way are ingrained into Canadian way of life, right? And that's, I think, one of the reasons, along with many other reasons, that we are a best country to live in.
What were you feeling the first time you immigrated to Canada?
When I'll share this with you. I landed here on November 21st, 1981, and the plane was landing. All I saw was this white stuff. This is snow that I never saw in my life before, right? And then I got out into the cold, and I thought, you know, this is the coldest I would ever feel in my life. But how wrong I was, right? Because the next day was cold, then coldest and coldest. I remember taking bus from my brother's place in Millwoods, coming downtown and transferring from bus and then walking two blocks, not properly dressed in the winter and feeling that chill bone cold, right? And then going to school first time, walking into the Victoria Composite High School and feeling completely lost because I couldn't speak the language, didn't have any friends. So that sense of loneliness was quite overwhelming. But I think that's the experience that everyone goes through. But this is a phenomenal place. Edmonton is a phenomenal community that... within a few months, I was able to make friends. I was able to get the support that I needed, even though not as much I thought I needed and did need, actually, right? So, so those were the kind of feelings I was going through. So it's not uprooting yourself from the place that you were born into and you grew up in that place. And coming thousands of miles away into a new country, into a new culture, is not easy, right? It is a lot of stress. Is but it was the I would say the best decision that that led to so much opportunity for me, and really be where I am today, but also able to give back to the community to make it even a better place.
The cold, definitely.
It is cold.
Is there a funny story from your childhood or your immigration process that you can share?
No, I had a very simple life when I was growing up in India. We were a farming family, extended family, a lot of kids in the family. And this wasn't really, I was kind of simple, not too exciting life, right? And, you know, I loved playing soccer, still do when I get the chance to get out. So I really enjoyed that. My role in the family was more of a, after school, I had to look after livestock, right? You know, taking them out for, you know, into the fields and helping my mom with little things in the household. But come 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, I was looking forward to grabbing that that ball and going into the field and being with friends and my classmates. That was the best memory I have of my childhood. And I was pretty good at soccer too, right? So I really enjoyed that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
No, thank you for having me. You know, I really enjoy this. I would encourage all of you to stay involved in your community because the decision we make at City Hall not only impact the people today, but they also impact people into the future. Decisions that we need to make, we always need to make sure that we're thinking into the future. We're thinking about future generations, whether it's about environmental sustainability, whether it's reconciliation, whether it's economic growth, whether it's jobs, whether it's public services, right? But we can only do that if we hear perspectives from young people, right? So if you get the chance to, please do get involved in city decision making, right? Have your input into city policy. I would really encourage you to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, good. And thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Hannah and Kara, and Tamir Sohi for that interview.
Again, that's it for the season. Find us again next spring right here in your podcast player. Tell all your friends to listen.
And please subscribe to our channel. It would be awesome if you left a review as well.
Thanks again for tuning in. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Akash. Have a great week. SJT Immigration Project is a production of the Enhanced Academic Program and Social Department of Sir John Thompson. Hosts this week were Akash and Rebecca. Interviews from Karen Hanna, music by Kara, art by Julius. Production and supervision from Ms. Stetson and Mr. Lukanen. Find us on Twitter at SJT Project ECSD or online at anchor.fm/SJT.
I got this. Wait.
Wait.